service, you know. And so we're going to take time out for that. One of the things in Worcester I would like to do, and that is that we continue to send out podcasts to different people. Some people are shut in. Some people are in the hospital. And what happens is that they can't get out to the services. So what happens is that we, if it's okay with everybody, we normally tape the service. And what happens is we'll send it to the people that are sick and shut in so that they can at least hear the word.
Right.
So
right. No
that's part, no problem. Okay, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. First of all, let's have a word of prayer. Mm-hmm. Father, in the name of Christ Jesus, we thank you for bringing us down the highway
yes.
safely.
Well,
we give you all the honor, all the praise, yes. and all the glory. As I woke up this morning, Heavenly Father, oftentimes Satan, he's always trying to challenge you. But dear God, but just thank God that as I got here, Heavenly Father, reading the word, it just makes you feel better. It just seems to open up your eyes. It seems to just bless your soul. So dear God, bless us today. Let your spirit, we welcome your Holy Spirit today.
Yes.
Because without your Holy Spirit, I can't preach. We can't do anything, dear God.
Yes.
Your Holy Spirit brings about all truth. So we just thank you for what you're about ready to do. Heavenly Father, we give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. Just bless each and every individual family that is represented here today. And
yes.
we just thank you way ahead of time because I know it's going to be a blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. My soul says, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, are you set up?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, what I would like to do is, I'm going to regress a little bit. I'm going to take a moment. If there's anyone that would like to have a testimony, you know, and I can start. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about, you know, and that is that when I think in terms of the last time that was here, you know, my grandson, he came home from Kuwait, and I was just so happy, and just the mere fact that he was trying to get a car and trying to get back to Fort Drum, mm-hmm. Fort Drum, you know, safely, so I just thank God that he got there safely. He called back and said, Pop, I love you so much. You know, you're such a blessing to me. And, you know, the church that you guys got down there, you know, it's a blessing. It is a blessing. You blessed his soul. You just, I wonder sometimes, do you understand the impact that you had just by encouraging that 19-year-old? Matter of fact, he got a birthday coming up this week. He'll be turning 20, you know, so just the mere fact is, as to you guys, you set him on the right path as you encourage this heart. And I am very gracious to each and every one of you. And I ask you to continue to pray for my family, because oftentimes when you're doing the work of God, you're challenged. So we give God all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. Is there anyone else in Worcester that would like to have a testimony at this time?
Well, I would. I had to go in the hospital, and with the prayers of all the saints and everybody, they didn't have to put the stent in my left, my left side, neck, artery.
Lord, have mercy.
And they went in and checked everything. They said the x-ray showed that it was 90% clogged. And they had to put a stent in it to open it up. They went in there and found out it was only 50%. So they closed it back up. It didn't have
Jesus,
to do anything.
Jesus.
And my son came up here from North Carolina.
Jesus.
So I had time to go back home and spend with him.
Oh, my God.
And out of 7 years since I've sold my home, I've been here at Great Rift 7 years.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
And he has never came to sleep on my floor because his father and his sister, they will always go there.
Mm-hmm.
But this time he brought his air mattress.
Amen.
He slept on
Amen.
The floor.
Amen.
He took me to Sam's, did everything I needed to be done. And then I wanted a dresser in my room because the one I had was too small. And I told him about it. We called the Reverend right here and his wife. And they said, okay, tomorrow we'll be there. And it was way down in Hamilton. They coming from Glasgow all the way to Hamilton.
Praise
and they're
God.
Bringing it to work.
Praise God.
And I got my dresser up, and I look at that thing every day and say, thank God.
Yes, yes.
It is beautiful.
Yes.
And I just want to let you know, God is good.
Woo, go ahead.
I'm
going to
answer your question.
Go ahead. That's right.
But one thing today, I got a sciatic nerve started Monday. Mm. I went to urgent care yesterday. They gave me some steroids and making my sugar go up high and pain medicine. But it's not doing no good. I mean, even if you twist the wrong way, it hurts. Mm. I mean, you know. Yes. And I thought I wouldn't be here, but something said, get up, get that walk, push yourself. If you got to sit and walk down there, go get on down there to the service.
Jesus.
And I'm glad I did.
Jesus.
Because I'm learning a lot. And Sister Terry just said, maybe when the pastor come in, we'll talk about our problems soon. And he comes in and says, well, we're going to have everybody talk.
Oh, my God.
And that's why I touched her on the shoulder and told her, see, God is good.
Oh, my God.
I just want to say thank you, everybody.
Yes,
thank
yes,
God.
Thank
yes, everybody
glory.
For your prayers.
Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Can I pray precious Lord?
Yes. Yes, Mother. Yes, Mother. Yes, certainly.
She's trying to get to him.
Better yet, were you there when they crucified my Lord?
Yes, 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 yes. 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 Okay, we want to move this?
Move the chair.
Yes.
Move this.
We'll move the chair.
Okay.
I got her.
Mother, you want me to take that?
God has been good to me and my family.
Amen.
Son got back home early, and
okay,
everybody's
so
fine.
Just lift your legs up. There you go.
Thank you.
Okay. Come around. Mm-hmm. I'm going to slide you right up underneath there.
Can I tape that? How do I tape that?
Let me know when it's enough.
Oh, God, don't need
yeah, that's enough.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes.
That's enough.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Did you bring that envelope?
Tape her plan.
I forgot it.
It's okay. It's okay. It's okay.
Like you're videoing it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Whether you want to stay here or you want to...
No, I'm going back.
Okay, you want to go back?
Yes.
You know, there's a verse in there talking about it causes you, when you think about it, it causes you to tremble.
Yes.
When you
yes.
think about how they crucified my Lord, it causes you to tremble.
Yes.
You know, and that kind of goes right into, I'm not sure how many of us got an opportunity to look at the scriptures in which that we had today, which is coming from Philippians, the 3rd chapter, you know, and... When we think about what Jesus did for us, you know, it causes me to tremble.
Yes.
Not only that, God has, I'm not even going to jump ahead, but what happens is that he was an example for us. He was an ultimate example. But before I get down to those verses, what I would like to do is just like when you go to a theater and... When you go to a theater, what happens is that they set the scene so that you can understand what part is being played. They actually set a scene. If there's going to be a cafe there, they're going to set a cafe. If it's going to be a train setting in the back, they set that up. Well, in Philippians, the 3rd chapter, what happens is that as I started looking at what was transpiring with the writer of Philippians, the 3rd chapter, which is Paul. He's the one that wrote the 3rd chapter of Philippians. And what happens is that Paul was in bondage. You know, Paul was in a Roman jail. And not only was he in a Roman jail, but he also had a Roman soldier attached to him. He had chains on him, and he had a Roman soldier, a great big haughty soldier, which was attached to him because it was his responsibility. Because if Paul had escaped, what happens is that they would have killed the soldier. They said, you let Paul escape. So when I think in terms of Paul writing this particular letter, you know, to the people of Philippi, you know, now Philippi was one of Paul's first churches. He started this here church, and Philippi, when you think about Philippi, Philippi was like a retired place for retired soldiers. It was a place in which that you had a lot of soldiers and military people that was there. You know, so Philippi was made up of those people. So everybody wasn't accepting what Paul was preaching. Paul was preaching Christ crucified and resurrected. A lot of people wasn't accepting that. They said, what kind of stuff are you talking about, Paul? You know? And guess what? Because Paul was speaking in terms of that, he was in prison until he got a chance to go to court, because some of the people were saying he's talking foolishness. You know, some of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they said, listen, we don't want to hear this. So they took him to the authority and said, hey, he's starting mess over here. You know, so they had him all locked up. But meanwhile, Paul is writing this letter in bondage, in a cave, you know, secluded from everyone. And he starts off and he says, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is grievous, but to you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. You know, I'm going to stop right there because, first of all, Paul is talking about rejoicing in the Lord and he's in bondage. You know, I think so often times when we're going through things in our life, you know, as we have prayed for one another, as I listened to my aunt and her testimony about her side, her back, and you know, we are going through things, and she pressed her mark. Well, this is what Paul is doing. He's pressing on in spite of those circumstances. He's pressing on. He's saying, you know, I'm chained up. I'm in a cave, and I'm in prison, but it's okay. Finally, we brothers, guess what? You can rejoice in the Lord even in when you're going through things of that particular nature. You know, as we go through things in life, you know, because guess what? This flesh is a mess. You know, this flesh, guess what? As you get older, as you age and carrying on, I remember days in which that when I had the horses and carrying on, you could run out there and jump on the horse and flying all over the place. You know, now you better open up that gate. You know, so it gets, as time goes on, but, you know, Paul said, in spite of all of that, praise God. That's why when Mother, she was saying, Mother said, you know, I want to play, were you there when they crucified my Lord? I said, the Holy Spirit is here. Because that is very applicable to what I'm preaching on today. You know, were you there? Do you understand what happened at that particular time? You know, it reminded me, Mother, I had visitation. We went up to the hospital this past week. And we had visitation with a young lady that was there. And what happens is that she wasn't speaking, you know, very much. And it reminded me very much of what Jesus said when he had told them. He says, well, you know, I won't be with you much longer. But it's all right because a lot of you is going to leave me alone. A lot of you are going to leave me anyway, you know. But I'm not going to be alone because I got my Father, which is with me. You know, oftentimes when we're going through things of that particular nature, you know, nobody knows what you're going through personally, you know, and people have a tendency of leaving you alone. But I encourage you that you're not alone. There's not one thing that you go through that God don't know about. He knows about every aching pain that we go through. He knows the loneliness that we go through. God knows all of these things. So I encourage your heart. That's why Paul can say, rejoice in the Lord. Finally, brothers, as things are going awry for you, rejoice. Stand firm in the power of God. Okay, verse 4, he says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he have whereof, I might trust in the flesh even more. And what is Paul talking about? He was talking about he was the Hebrew of Hebrews, talking about his background. You know, Paul said, do you know who I was? Do you know what I had going for me? But guess what? I gave it up. I counted it as nothing when I started worshiping God. When I worship God, what happens is it put everything in perspective. You know, when you start worshiping God, it lets you know just how short things, how imperfect you are. You know, it lets you know, because I'll tell you the truth. As a young man, when I think about some of those things that I had done as a young man, it grieves me. It grieves me. I said, oh my God, how come I couldn't see it then? You know, how come I couldn't see straight at that particular time? That's because, guess what, we're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. I want you to understand that this is a race that we're running, you know? And running this here particular race, you're going to have shortcomings, you know? That reminded me of sometimes when I'm trying to do the very best I can and you still fall short, you know? You're giving it all you got and you still fall short. You know, it lets you know that, guess what? As long as you're in this here flesh, you're not going to be perfect. But you got to press toward the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. We got to continue to press. We can't use that as an excuse, you know? We got to continue to press on in spite of ourselves. What a mighty God we serve. That's why I thank God for the Holy Spirit. You know, because what happens is that when you do wrong, thank you, Holy Spirit. Because what happens is that the Holy Spirit will let you know that you belong to him. What do you mean, preacher? Well, guess what? When I do something wrong, I got a conscience. It bothers me. When Mother, if I said something to you and wish that was inappropriate, I would have to come somewhere along the line before I can get a good night's sleep. Guess what? I got to come back and say, Mother, forgive me. Forgive me. I shouldn't have said this. I shouldn't have did this. You know? And it's confirmation that you're saved. You know? You don't want to get to a point where you can do people wrong and not ask for forgiveness and it don't bother you. Because if you can do that, you need to check yourself out. Because guess what? You know, there's something that's awry. Because what happens if you keep on going down that road, then you'll be given over to a reprobate mind. What is a reprobate mind? Reprobate mind means that you don't know what's right and you don't know what's wrong. You're just doing whatever you want to do. Well, what a mighty God we serve. He had given us provisions. He's given us a special gift of the Holy Spirit that will allow us to know when we're wrong. You know, and I'll tell you what, you know, oftentimes when I'm dealing even with my family members, you know, and oftentimes who wants to tell their family members that they were wrong? I know I don't, you know, but guess what? You know, God will beat you up so bad until you be saying, okay, well, I better fess up, you know, because guess what? You know, ain't no sleep, ain't no peace on the inside. you know, I've gotten to a point in my life where that, you know, I want to be able to sleep comfortably.
Yes.
You know, when I draw up to next to my wife and we sitting up there, we're talking about the scriptures and we're laughing and joking at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, and carrying on. I want to have peace within my heart. You know, I don't want to have said something to her earlier and she's still trying to get over it. You know, I try to make sure the slate is clean and I'll tell her in a minute, hey, if I've done anything wrong, forgive me. Forgive me. I want to make this thing right because you just don't know when, you know, this might be the last time. We don't know. When you walk out that door, you know, I try to make sure things are right. I make sure that we pray because guess what? We got to make sure that we're taking care of our business. Our business is on a daily basis in which that we're letting God know that guess what? Would God be sorrowful for our sins? What a mighty God we serve. Verse 10.
Honey, put your mask on.
Amen. Verse 10, that I may know him and in the power of resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. And I'm going to stop right there because guess what? We're following after Jesus Christ. We're following after what he has done for us. But guess what? You know, Satan has a way of, he's always being very offensive. You know, he has a way of going to the Father. You know what he tells you? They think they all of that. I remember when he lied. I remember when he stole. I remember when he did this. You know, Satan is also another name for Satan is he's an accuser. He's an accuser of the brethren. You know, he's always accusing. So what happens is that as he accused, you know what Christ says? I paid for that. I paid for that. You know, Father, you know, because guess what? God, he's a righteous God. God, he can't look upon sin. But when there's sin that is present, what happens is that, you know, God has said, guess what? Somebody's got to pay for that sin. You know, somebody's going to pay for that sin. And what Jesus said is, I paid for that. I paid for that. You know, and how does he pay for my sin? Just by me believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. We walk by faith, not by sight. Is it something that we can see? No, it's not something that we can see. But it's something in which that we believe. I believe that, you know, Christ died for my sin. I believe that when I take this last breath here on this earth, I'll be with him in heaven. I will go to paradise with him. Because where Jesus is, it is paradise. What a mighty God we serve. God, he looks at each and every individual. And what happens is that he has a scale. And that's why I encourage each other. And that is that at the end of your day, we might not have got it all right. But guess what? At the end of the day, I can go and I can say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for what I have done. You know, forgive me for those thoughts that come into my head sometimes. Forgive me that Satan tries to get into my heart. And I might have got a little hardy and say, well, you know, they shouldn't have did this. And they shouldn't have did that. And they shouldn't have said that. You know, but guess what? I can ask God to forgive me, to cover those things and those shortcomings and what's that I have. You know, oftentimes we don't say it enough. We don't ask God to forgive us enough. We realize one thing. As Christians, we're not perfect. You know, we're not perfect. But we're striving for perfection. And how can you strive for perfection? We can strive by perfection by believing that Jesus died for our sins. That because he died, and not only just died, he rose again. Somebody said, did he rise bodily? You know? Well, there's witnesses. Only thing that I can tell you is that there are witnesses and what that they've seen him bodily. You know? And so the same resurrection in which he have is the same resurrection in which we will have. We look forward to that day. Because as we had said, you might look at life and you say, is this all there is? You know, when I look at the trials and tribulation, you say, is this all that there is? Oh, no. This is looking through a glass very narrowly, you know. And that is that we've yet to see what God has in store for each one of us. You know, we've yet to see all the things that God will do for us. You know, oftentimes God is working behind the scenes on things and what's that we don't even have a clue about. You know, even when you're coming down the road and you're passing a car, you don't know whether the person is intoxicated or not.
Right.
But guess what? God covers you. You know, even when you get ready to step out the door, you know, it reminded me of when I'm reading the scriptures and I see so many things. It's so easy to be persuaded. You know, we as people, it is so easy to be persuaded. You know, some of your friends saying, come on, let's go with me. You know, we're getting ready to go over here. We're getting ready to do this here. It's so easily persuaded. But we thank God for the Holy Spirit that will guide you and say, no, I wouldn't do that. No, I wouldn't do that. No, I wouldn't say that. We just thank God for what he's doing in our life. You know, verse 14, for I press toward the mark of the prize of a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm constantly pressing on. You know, that's why I love that song. I'm pressing on, Lord. I'm pressing on, well, trying to reach my heavenly shore. I got a few more tears that I have to share. I got a few more burden that I have to bear. Well, I'm pressing on, Lord. I'm pressing, and I'm constantly pressing on. I'm constantly pressing on every day of my life. I'm pressing toward the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. Because I say to myself, and that is that I want to make heaven my home. We got 60, 70, 80, 90, 110, 120. You know, as the years go on, guess what? You know, and it's like it's brief. You can ask mother, you know, where did that 100 years go? Brief. I mean, brief, you know. And as time goes on, the time just seems to fly. It flies by each one of us, you know. But we constantly press on, regardless of what's transpiring in our lives. We try to press on. And verse 17, it picks up and says, brothers, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk, as ye have us for an example. You know, as a minister of God, I try to be careful of how I walk, how I talk, you know. I want individuals to say he was a good example, you know. But you know, that's why I thank God for the Holy Spirit, because even trying to be the best example that I would like to be, I still have shortcomings, you know. Even trying to be the best example, the best person that you can be, you know. And my wife, see, what happens is that she get to see the real me, you know. She get the real me to see the. And you just don't know how many times and what's that, you know, I have to ask for forgiveness. You know, because guess what? You know, I'm trying to be the best person I can be. But guess what? You know, Satan, he has a way of pressing certain points. You know, but I ain't shy about asking for forgiveness because I love to have a good night's sleep.
Right.
You know,
right.
So to God be the glory. What a mighty God we serve. So brethren, verse 17, brethren, be ye followers together of me and mark them which walk as ye have us for an example. And we have the examples, but in this ministry, you got a lot of different people out there. You know, you got a lot of people. Some people preach for money. Some people preach for fame. You know, some people preach because they want the notoriety. You know, I preach Jesus Christ because it's freeing to people. It was freeing to me. You know, it's nothing worse than feeling though you're always looking for something in life. You know, for me, you know, as a young man, you're going through your daily walk and you're saying it's got to be more to life than just this. It's got to be more. You know, what happens is that when God breathed the breath of life, as a matter of fact, I sent that scripture, Genesis 2, this past weekend, talking about when God breathed the breath of life and man became a living soul. You know, when God breathed that breath of life in you, what happens is that you recognize one thing, and that is that God's nature, you know? You realize that there's more to life. You can look at nature and see that there's more to life. You can, you know, when you look at the intricacies of man, you know, his nostrils, his air, you know, the cells on his skin, you know, you realize that God had to be totally awesome in order to make man, you know, in order to make woman, you know, and wish that that was the first operation where he actually opened up man, took out a rib, and then enclosed it with woman. And of course, somebody said, after he did that, you know, that's how they named the woman, because he said, wow. You know? But, you know, what happens is that, you know, God is awesome. You know, the shortcomings that we have is us, not God. You know, if there's any shortcomings, it's us. It's not God. You know, because God does everything perfectly. You know, and that's why I strive so hard to follow Jesus's pathway. You know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. How was we to even identify anything about God without the Word? Because the Word is an illustration of what the, who the Father really is. He actually puts it in verbally so we can understand just who the Father is. God is an awesome God. You know, God brought about a word in which that we have yet been able to define. And what are you talking about, preacher? God loved us so much that he was willing to die for our sins. While I was yet in sin, he died for me. You know, we don't even want to help our brothers and sisters that are hurting or going through things, you know. But he was willing to lay down his life. What kind of person would love somebody that much? But yet, we're always running around on God. We're always, you know, it reminds me of a woman that is married. And she has everything that the man is trying to give to her as far as loving on her and taking care of her. But she's never satisfied. She's always going out and running with this person and running with that person. That's what we do when we deny God. You know, God has loved us so much. He's been pure and loving to us. But yet, you know, we are willing to leave God for food. Leave God, because what happens is that, you know, we put food before God. We put drugs before God. We put other women before God. These are things that God made. And guess what? We'd rather love on that than to love on the Creator. What a mighty God we serve. So I'm going to go back to this, and that is that I'm sharing that with you. But in that same aspect, we realize one thing, and that is that we got individuals that are preaching the gospel that are looking for money. Don't be deceived. That's why I encourage you to read your word daily. Because you got so much deception out there. You know, people don't want you to read this word. You know, people don't want you to read the word, because guess what? This is knowledge. And I tell my grandson in a minute, continue to read the word and you'll be wiser than your teachers. Oftentimes they talk about, you know, Carver, the individual who that made all the peanut butter and this and that. And he said, well, how did you learn so much? He said, reading the Bible. You know, the Bible has hidden secrets in which that we have yet begin to even have knowledge of. You know, oftentimes I was telling one of my relatives this past week that in the 1611 Bible, they used to have the Apocrypha in there, you know, but they have came to the point now where they're removing books out of the Bible. You know, and sometimes I like to go back to those old books, you know, out of the old Bible, the Apocrypha, and it explains a little more in detail. What happens is that the Bible didn't always have chapters and verses. You know, the Bible was letters. The Bible was an assortment of letters that somebody sat down, and they were ordained by God. And they put into a book, and they actually put chapters there. But originally, it was just letters. Just like Paul wrote that letter in Philippians 3 to the Philippian people, it was just letters. People put the books together out of the letters, and what's it? They grabbed the Dead Sea Scrolls, this, that. They put these together. So what a mighty God we serve. And I often would tell anybody, and that is that This reminds me of love letters that God wrote to me so I can be a better person. So that where he is, there I may be also when my time comes. As I said, there's nothing that happens that God don't know about. I'm just here to encourage you on a daily basis to trust God. Even when you're going through trials and tribulations, rejoice. Be exceedingly glad that he's there with you. He knows, you know, he was crucified. He was hung up for our hang-ups. Guess what? You know, because of sin, you know, sin brought about death. You know, but we thank God that we will not remain dead. That we thank God that, guess what? When we give up this breath here, where he is, there we will be also. Going back to John, you know, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. That where I am, there you may be also. So what a mighty God we serve. So I'm here to encourage you and say, run a good race. We have trials and tribulations. Sometimes we get a little weak along the way. But guess what? That's why God sends your preacher around every now and then and tell you, come on, run a good race. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Bless God, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I tell you the truth, this is a race in which that I would not trade for nothing in the world. You know, without God, I can do nothing. He said, I am the vine, ye are the branch. He who abideth in me, and I in him, the same shall bring forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You know, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You know, what a mighty God we serve. I encourage you to run a good race. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And at the end of the day, if you ain't make the mark, it's okay to say, Lord, forgive me. You know, because guess what? On a daily basis, every morning, new mercies are given. What a mighty God we serve. I hope that there's something in what I've said that encourages your heart. You know, I just want to encourage you to run a good race in spite of everything that's transpiring in our lives. Yes, Mother, you got something?
No, that's it. I'm listening to you. Loving everything you're saying. I know everything you're saying is true.
Yes. What a mighty God we serve.
Mighty.
Yes, yeah. You know, but this is the part in what's not like, and that is that as we continue to fellowship, as we continue to have church here, you know, and what happens is that we bring communion on a regular basis. Communion means that we are one body in Christ. We're one body in Christ. We're celebrating what Christ did for us. He was hung up for our hang-ups, you know. But he didn't stay dead. He did not stay dead. He got up with all power in his hand. You know, the cup in which that we have here symbolizes his body that was hung up for a hang-up. You know, people use these sacraments for so many different things, you know. But we use these sacraments to remember what he did for us. Bread symbolizes his body that was hung up on Calvary. Blood symbolizes the blood that was shed on Calvary. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. If you'll pass that out at this time.
Thank you.
And this is an opportunity in which that I am truly glad just to be able to have fellowship with you one with another. You know, and I just encourage your heart to run a good race and just thank God for what he has done for us. You know, we thank God for his love. You know, he loved us so much that while we were yet in sin, he's willing to die for us. What a mighty God we serve. Bend that tab back, and then that first layer should come off.
Yes, I know.
I broke it.
Didn't you bend the second one?
Oh, did you get one of them?
Yeah. She broke the tab.
Here's the, it broke off. Did I get another one?
Yeah, give another one. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes they get a little, these are the new ones.
Maybe you could help me.
Absolutely. Give me 1 second.
Okay. Yeah. That's why we got replacements.
Okay.
Give me 1 second.
Yep. I broke it.
That's right. We got replacements.
That's for
kind of hard to see, even.
Yeah, these are the newer, we just got these.
And it's, I like them personally because that means they're sanitary. But it takes a minute sometimes.
Oh, Joanne, you got yours? Okay, Mother, okay. You got yours? Okay.
All right, got both of them. I think you can pull the list.
I got it, Rita.
You got it?
Yeah.
Everybody good?
Okay, praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Okay.
Praise God. Slow and easy. That's all right. We thank God for the fellowship. We thank God that we get a chance. Another yes. month then went by, and we're still here in the yes. land of the living, being able to give God all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. And as he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Slow and easy. Okay?
Okay.
Lord, we thank you. We ask you to change this from a carnal use to a spiritual use. We give you all the honor, praise, and glory. Shall we eat the bread at this time? Followed by the cup. Cup symbolizing the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Shall we drink at this time? Amen. 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 You know, after they had the cup.
It was the blood.
Blood, yeah.
I know it was the blood.
I know it was the blood
for me.
Well, one day when I was lost, Jesus died on the cross,
and I know it was the blood for me.
On
his head and
died. Yes, he hung his head and died.
Hung his head and died for me.
Oh, well, one day when I was lost, Jesus died on the cross, and I knew it was the blood for me. Well, he's coming back again. Yes, he's coming back again. He's coming back again for me. Well, one day when I was lost, Jesus died on the cross, and I know it was the blood for me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Is there any other comments before we close out with prayer?
Yeah, I wanted to say that when you were talking about apologizing, I had taught a lesson like when I was in AA. I had a person like helping me, sponsor me, sort of, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I really told somebody to go at them stuff. You know, I just told them all because they were really being smart.
Okay.
And he said, oh, really? Now you have to go back and apologize to that person because I said, but they were really being smart with me. Mm-hmm. He said, well, regardless, you had no business speaking to them like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, go, if you spoke to them in front of a crowd, make sure you apologize mm-hmm. in front of a crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I said, seriously? They said, yes, yeah. Seriously.
Yeah.
I was like, oh. Yeah. I went back. I said, but they're going to curse me. He said, well, you shouldn't have spoken to them like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back and I apologized. Mm-hmm. And then they completely tore me off and I was like, oh. And then, like, it happened, like, quite a few times.
Yeah.
And then one time I told, like, the whole group off.
Yes.
Because I'm me.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And he said, oh, did you? He said, now go back and apologize to the entire group.
Mm.
I said, what? He said, yes, because you told the whole group off. Yeah, but they were wrong. He said, yeah, were they? He said, now go back and apologize to the whole group.
Mm.
I said,
yeah.
So I had done this quick. I said, I'm really getting sick and tired of apologizing.
Yeah.
I said, are you? Mm-hmm. He said, well, what are you going to do about it? He said, well, I don't know. And then I said, well, wait a minute. If I stop doing what I'm doing,
yeah.
I won't have to apologize.
Yeah.
He said, I think you're getting it.
Yeah.
He said, I said, oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said, now you got it.
Yeah.
Stop being smart enough, and you won't have to apologize.
Yes, yeah.
I said, oh, okay.
Yes.
He said, now you got it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I did, it took me a while.
Yeah.
It took me a couple of years.
Yeah.
I finally got it.
Hey, you're not the only one.
But there was one other thing I wanted to say.
like, I don't know if this ever happened to you, but I had been in a position where Mother Teresa, you know Mother Teresa,
mm-hmm.
She passed me, and I was in a position where I played music, and she passed me, and she touched up against me, and I swear the Holy Spirit went right through my body. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, well that was really weird.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe the feeling I got,
mm-hmm.
you know, and and then Pope John Paul wasn't Pope yet,
mm-hmm.
and I was actually being a wise guy. He said to me, I had a red hat on, and he said to me, are you a cardinal too? I said, not only am I a cardinal, but I'm going to bless you and forgive you for your sins. But he was laughed and everything. I took his picture. So I really feel that he had the joy for God.
Yes.
You know, but I had the pleasure of meeting some different holy people. And one day, some man, they were introducing me to him, and he took my hand, and I have never in my whole life ever, except for that one person, he took my hand. I could actually feel the devil in this person.
Mm.
Did you ever experience feeling a badness come from somebody? It was such a bad feeling.
Yes.
It scared me.
Yes.
He scared me when he touched me.
Mm-hmm.
I had to take my hand and wipe it against myself. I mean, he was actually murdered 2 months later. But
mm-hmm.
I was wow, was he scary?
Yeah.
I'd like to stay away from him. Because my girlfriend said to me, he wants to give me survive. I said, no, thank you.
Yeah. Well, oftentimes what happens is that...
I never before felt like a devil from somebody.
Yeah, you got to be very watchful. You know, you can't take anything for granted. Now, remember this. Some people have entertained angels unaware, you know? So what happens is that you got all, just like Christ has people to do his work, Satan has people to do his work, you know? Just as I am a follower of Jesus Christ, and with that I profess Jesus Christ, I talk to other individuals about Jesus Christ, Satan has people in which that work for him just as hard as I'm working for Jesus Christ. So, you know, don't be deceived, you know. You have all kinds of people and things that is going around us. You know, oftentimes, that's why I love reading the Word. It talks about, you know, you have angels ascending and descending right here on earth. But you can't see it because of our finite eyes. But in that same aspect, as I had said, if you look at look at Philippians, the third chapter, he was talking about false teachers, you know? And how can you identify false teachers? False teachers are always those individuals talking about, you got to go and you got to do the law. You got to do the whole thing. You got to do this and you got to do that. And you know, according to Moses' law, you know, well, guess what? When Christ came, you know, it went into a whole new era, because nobody could fulfill the whole aspects of the law. Nobody, you know. So what happens is that people were confined because they could not pass the whole aspect of the law. But when Jesus came, he covered it all. You know, before you had to go to the priest, and the priest had to sacrifice a dove, and they had to cut the neck just right. They had to lay the blood, sprinkle the blood. Just right, they had to sprinkle blood on the people, you know. And yet, a lot of the priests, their hearts wasn't right. So, it nullified a lot of the things that was transpiring. But when Jesus, he was the ultimate sacrifice. He was the ultimate sacrifice. And now, when the accuser comes, you know what he said? I paid for that. I paid for that. No, they're not perfect, but I paid for that. You know. So, oftentimes, as you entertain individuals, continue to read the Word of God so you can identify who you're dealing with. You know, I pray that as we continue to fellowship one with another, and as you continue to read your Word, you will become more aware.
I knew he was a bad person because he did bad things to people.
Mm-hmm.
I was aware of that
mm-hmm.
he was mean.
Yes.
But I didn't know he was so filled with evil, so I touched him.
Yes. Yes.
But once I touched him, I was like, oh my God, he's like the devil.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you got to be mindful of this, and that is that oftentimes I think in terms of scripture was that when Jesus came into town and there was a man and was that had many demons, mm-hmm. and he recognized who Jesus was, and he says, you know, don't send us to the abyss, but put us into those swine over there, you know. And when Jesus did that, the swan actually ran off the cliff and went into the ocean, mm-hmm. you know. So that's why I love the reading of the word, because guess what, you know, this is real. Those spirits are real, you know. The Holy Spirit is real. Those demonic spirits are real. So with this, I thank God we're covered by the blood, you know. Yes. When you're covered with the blood, what happens is that you don't have to worry about those demonic spirits, you know, because guess what? They may not recognize you, but they have to recognize the Jesus that's in me. You know, I have Jesus in my heart. He said, now I give you a new covenant. I give you a new covenant, something which that people can't steal. They can't change the words, but it's on the inside of you. Once that you sincerely accept Christ as your personal Savior, that's what you have to ask yourself. Did I sincerely ask God to come into my heart, to change my heart? Am I sincerely trying every day to do the very best that I can do? Did I sincerely believe that Jesus died for my sins? And because of him, now I can get to heaven. Do I really believe that? You know, that's what makes the whole difference. Because once you are part of the family of Christ Jesus, you're sealed until the day of redemption. You know, so we continue to walk in that. You know, oftentimes Satan will try to get you to doubt. Well, you ain't all of that. You failed that. You lied about that. You didn't do this. Stand firm in the fact and say, Jesus paid for that. And I'm trusting in that regardless of what you may think of it. It's okay. Just as Jesus loved me in spite of what I was doing, I got Jesus in me, so I'm going to love you in spite of how you feel about me. What am I, your God? Please, sir.
I have to tell you that when you were talking, I was in all kinds of pain. My head kept saying, now get up and get out of here, mm-hmm. because you're hurt. Mm-hmm. And the other side of my brain was saying, sit there and offer it up to God.
Amen.
And the other side kept saying, no, leave. Mm-hmm. And I kept fighting with my brain.
Yes.
And then that one side won, because I ended up staying. So yes. I'm so happy I stayed.
Amen. To God be glory.
Right.
There is a fight. I didn't see any times where...
Because I was hurting. I was like having these shooting pains in my arms and my chest. And I was saying, your blood pressure was so high today. You're probably having a lot of pain. And then the other part of me said, would you sit still and just stay here?
Yeah.
And I'm so happy I stayed.
Well, and I'm happy that you stayed as well. Because, you know, preaching of the gospel, oftentimes there's things that will try to disrupt. Anything to try to disrupt the word of God. I have been preaching, man, where the babies get to screaming and carrying on. And the only thing I can say is, let them scream, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, I have seen times where people would stand up and they would refute the gospel. You know, you'd ask people, you know, you don't want to be here, escort them out. You know, but, you know, God's word is going to go forth regardless of us or not. God's word will not return void. You know, God's word is on a mission. And as long as I'm preaching God's word, I know that it will do what it's supposed to do. And that is heal, renew, increase faith, you know, and give you direction.
Because right now, I'm like not even in pain.
Yes.
I mean, like, wow.
Yes.
Like the pain is gone.
Yeah.
And I stayed and the pain left.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
like, wow.
You've yet to see the power of God.
You know.
You have yet to see the power of God. You're just getting a taste. You're just getting a taste. You know, I look at my aunt's testimony, talking about, yeah, they went in, and they said it wasn't restricted.
I know. I was praying so hard for her, and I was like, how many thanks, Jesus. She didn't even
You've yet to see, you know. And I look at mother, and which that is 100 years old, and I said, go ahead, mother. Run your race. And then you know what she said? I want to get to the piano. I want to play the song. It's on her heart.
Right.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord?
And you know, a lot of the songs you sing, like, I'm from a different faith, but I knew that song. I was like, hallelujah,
yes.
I know this
song.
Yeah.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? And one of the verses, when you think about it, it makes you want to tremble.
Yeah.
You know, when you think in terms of what he went through, you know,
right.
We have what they call quote-unquote Easter Sunday. I'll call it Resurrection Sunday, you know. But guess what? We have that coming forward, you know.
And this is the most important Sunday of all.
Yes, 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 of our faith, of our faith, you know. So I encourage you, you know, during that time, you know, think in terms, that song says it all, you know, thinking about what he did for us in spite of who we are, in spite of all of that, you know. So I just can't say enough. And I'd like to close out with a word of prayer.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Father, in the name of Christ Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you for grace and mercy. We thank you for loving kindness. Dear God, we realize that, you know, sometimes it's 30 days before we get back here. But dear God, I just praise you how you covered us.
Yes.
You cover us with the blood, dear God. You keep us, dear God.
Yes.
Oh, dear God, we might be going away from each other, but we never leave your eyesight, dear God.
Yes.
I ask you to bless each one of us individually and collectively, dear God. Encourage each heart, dear me, Father, where there's financial needs, bless them right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Dear God, where their physical needs, I listened to Ann talking about her back. I listened to my aunt talking about her back, dear God. Oh, dear God, fix it right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Heal them right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Cover them right now in the name of Jesus. I sprinkle blood right now in the name of Jesus. We anoint you with the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus right now, dear God. Fix it right now. Heal them right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, dear God, Mother, she's going through some things. Oh, dear God, heal her right now in the name of Jesus. Dear God, we're going to continue to run our race. Dear God, we're going to continue to shout hallelujah. We're going to rejoice in your word. We're going to rejoice in you, dear God. Just fix it right now. Bless us, keep us. We're about to go down the highway, but like I said, we never leave your presence. We ask you to give us traveling mercy. Go before us. Be our banner, our buckler, and our shield. Dear God, until we come back together, one with another, we'll give you all the honor, praise, and glory. All those that agree with that prayer, let's say amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. That's right.
Well,
amen.
That's